Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Lean Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode. Lee, you out there, brother? Lee, what's going on, bro? How you doing tonight? All right, word. So we got a big fight card tonight, and it's going to be a good one. I can't wait. This one's been in the making. Max Holloway versus Brian Ortega. I think all the community have been waiting for this one. A lot of people are saying this is probably the best stylistic matchup. You know, just two top guys going at it. One of the best ones, if not the best one, of 2018 so far. You know, and the fact it took a year pretty much. These guys, you know, he was supposed to fight Frankie. It didn't happen. He was supposed to fight Khabib, then Brian Ortega. You know, a lot of health issues with Holloway. But now we got the fight, so we're good to go. Funny that the backup actually missed weight. That was supposed to have Moicano was ready to fill in if Holloway or Ortega were to fall out the fight, you know, so the UFC can have that kind of insurance policy in case the main event almost fell through. So they weren't going to allow that. But as it pans out, Moicano actually missed weight. He weighed in at 146, and so he can't – if he were to fill in, if one of these guys were to slip on a banana peel, you know, right before the fight and something would have happened like that, Moicano, if he were to step in, it wouldn't be – it would end up being a non-title fight, kind of like what happened with Yoel Romero when he fought Whitaker the second time. I believe if he were to win, he wouldn't have been the champion because he missed weight. But Whitaker still took the fight. So that'd probably be the most likely scenario because if something were to happen last second, Ortega already said he's fighting no matter what. So, but you know, we wouldn't have to – as it's looking right now, we don't have to worry about that because, I mean, I've been checking in, you know, every half hour to an hour or so, looking into the updates. I haven't heard anything happen to any of these guys, not even in the co-main event either, so – you know, everybody may wait, and I haven't heard any incidents happening, so it's looking like we're going to see what everybody's been waiting to see, you know, especially that Holloway versus Ortega. So I'm excited. You know, I believe Lee's excited too. Lee, can you hear me, bro?
Yeah, I'm out here. What's up, man?
How you doing tonight?
Oh, man, I'm good. I have some technical difficulties with my headphones on the road, trying to get my my back on one hooked up.
It's all good. Well, you hear now?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right.
What? You know, a couple technical difficulties, but you here now, huh?
Yeah, I'm here, man. I'm here. Just gonna have to go with the speakerphone today. Yeah, man. You know, I told you, I had a 4-step process. As far as seeing whether or not this main event was going to happen. So we got 3 steps down, 1 to go. And the last one is to actually see Max Holloway walk to the octagon. So, you know, everything is looking on the up and up. Joanna, she actually looked pretty good yesterday. Valentina looked pretty good yesterday. I like that she did the weigh-in in her little bikini bottoms. I love that, you know, keep it womanly. You know, so I'm really looking forward to this card tonight. It's a stacked card.
Yeah, hell yeah, bro. I wanted to ask you what was the 4-step process? You know, can you tell us what were the 4 steps in making it to the fight for Holloway?
The first step was him making weight. The second step was him walking across the stage, doing the stare, doing the face off. The third step was him being healthy this morning, you know, nothing popping up overnight. And the last step is him walking to the octagon. That was my 4-step process for Max being able to fight. Because, as you know, the last couple fights, man, he hasn't been healthy, you know, as far as, you know, him making weight. You know, they said he struggled with a bout of depression. And then, you know, he couldn't make weight for the Khabib fight. You know, man, I think it goes back to guys having to cut so much weight to fight in a particular weight group that, you know, is not healthy. Even Ortega said it during a news conference, the press conference, he was like, you know, I know that we getting in here and, you know, we trying to beat our opponent, but, you know, he wanted Max to be healthy. You know, but he saw how he struggled the last couple times to make weight and, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, as fight fans, we want the fighters to be healthy. We want them to be in their best tip-top shape when they get in the octagon because, you know, in a way, they kind of are putting their life on the line. You know, combat sports, you never know what can happen. So, you know, that was my four-step process.
Word, and it seems like it's, you know, just about came to fruition, you know, in its entirety. So I'm excited that we were able to see those first three steps. And I'm just still anticipating the number four because, you know, the whole week I was doing a similar thing. But my process was more like just not letting myself get amped and not letting myself get too hyped, you know, thinking about the fight and the fight that, you know, the fights as a whole, just the card as a whole, not letting myself get too hyped because I just had that doubt with something like just looking at the whole card and just being like, okay, like this is a really solid card. And this is one of those cards that it's almost too solid. It's almost too solid to be true. So for us to be able to be granted all these fights in one night is just really, it's kind of like mind-blowing. So from top to bottom, just a really solid card. So, you know, it just seemed too solid to be true, too good to be true, and I just tried to not let myself get amped until fight night. So, you know, it's just about quarter past, you know, we're rounding like quarter past 5 p.m. on the East Coast. So the fights will be starting up in roughly, you know, the main card will be the fights will be starting up in like 3 hours, you know, for the prelims. And there's a couple good ones on the prelims too. And then, you know, the main card will be starting in about roughly five hours on the East Coast. So it's almost getting to that time where I'm going to let myself get excited. I'm going to let myself get excited because, hey, it's fight day. It's now. I waited the whole week. Even last night, I didn't even have one thought about it. I was like, word. I didn't even think about my DraftKings picks. I didn't even think this whole week, oh, who am I going to pick in my DraftKings picks? And sometimes I do. Sometimes I'll make that lineup, you know, a day or two early. But I didn't even do that. I just made my DraftKings lineup like, you know, 15, 20 minutes ago. So, yeah, I you know, I just the final couple hours, I'm just almost letting myself get hyped now.
Well, actually, this is a big time event because they actually having an hour and a 90-minute pre-fight show. So they never had a 90-minute pre-fight show before. So this is a big deal.
What time is that starting at?
I want to say 4:30 because the prelims start at 6.
Oh, okay, yeah, so we're looking at, 6:30. All right, so that'll be pretty much going down at the same time as the Fight Pass prelims. If they have Fight Pass prelims, I don't even know if they have them.
Well, it's something about Fight Pass it just kind of bothers me a little bit because it's like, you know, those guys need exposure too. And the only way they get exposure is by us subscribing to Fight Pass. So why not just, you know, let it be a free fight? You know, you had a pre-fight show and then you cut the pre-fight show off to show that Fight Pass fight. And then you restart the pre-fight show. I mean, you know, it is a way of getting the young guys exposure because normally that's the people that fight on Fight Pass or, you know, up-and-coming guys. So I think the UFC could do a better job with that.
Yeah, I think it'd help if they could. Man, it's hard to say because sometimes I want to say they could just add the Fight Pass to the prelims and just because it's only like – I'm pretty sure the Fight Pass prelims is only like two fights. So,
but the prelims are normally on like 2 hours though.
Yeah, but the thing is this though, is that because I think they should make the main card. They should make the main card into the format that they've been running with for the fight night cards lately, because I think it's been working, is having a six-fight main card instead of having – yeah, you should do a six-fight main card instead of having a five-fight main card. And if the fights just go a little longer into the night. But if you do that, then you can – because there's guys that are on prelims, you know, time and time again that really could be on the main card, like, you know, main card performers. And plus, just to give them that exposure, even if they're not. Because people aren't going to, you know, people aren't going to subscribe to Fight Pass, and then they're never going to see these guys because you're not giving them the shot. So I think if they do a six-fight main card, you bump up one of the prelims up, maybe like the main event prelim or you know, co-main event prelim, bump one of those fights up to the main card, so six fights, and then you can bump up both of the Fight Pass to the prelims. So you'll have, like, probably end up with, like, because usually, I think there's usually four prelims. I might be wrong. I think there's usually four prelims. So if you bump up.
Yeah, it's only four fights on the prelims.
How many?
Yeah, it's only four fights on the prelim.
Yeah, so I think they should do a six fight main card. So then you end up with three. And then put the fight pass, the two fight pass. Just forget about the Fight Pass prelims and put those two into the regular prelims. Then you'll have a five fight prelims card from 8 to 10, which I think is more than doable. You'll have a little less broadcasting time in between fights, which I don't think we need to have, like, 25-minute broadcasting between every fight. It's just there's really no need for it. And so you have five fight prelim, and then you'll have a six fight main card. That's 11 fights. I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah, but only thing about the pay-per-view is they have time frames that they have to stay within a certain time frame. So if they go over that, they have to pay for it. That's why I think they only have a certain amount of fights on the pay-per-view, just in case something crazy happens or all the fights go the distance. Because if they see, I think if they go past 12 o'clock or 12:30 or something, then they have to pay a fine. It's
oh, wow. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it's something crazy about the pay-per-view. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that explains a lot. But anyways, let's just jump right into it, because I know people have been talking about this a lot, you know, in the MMA, UFC media. This is the talk, and who you got. I've seen so many lists of picks for these fights, long lists of picks, you know, including prelims and everything like that. We probably won't do the prelims here. We'll probably just do a couple fights off the main card that we want to break down a little bit further. But, let's jump into one of these fights. So I'll start. Let's start you off. What fight you want to break down first? Which one do you want to give your prediction for first? You can start to kick it off.
Man, I don't even know, man. Let's get to the co-main event. You know, very interesting fight. You know, we got Valentina versus Joe. You know, both of them moving up to the 125 weight division. You know, I think that's on the 125 has definitely been a breath of fresh air for the ladies, because someone making 115 was super tough. And, you know, I think Valentina versus Joanna is going to be probably a hell of a fight. You know, they fought twice in kickboxing. And, you know, I think Valentina won both of those. And now you're talking about UFC, so everything in me wanna pitch Joanna, but man, Valentina seems so hungry right now. And I don't think Joanna has that invincible aura about her like she had before, and I think a lot of fighters aren't intimidated by her no more. So I'm looking forward to that fight. What about you?
Yeah, that one's gonna be good. There's a couple factors that I think play into that one. I think it's, you know, I haven't watched that many Valentina Shevchenko fights, to be honest. I didn't even catch her last fight. I didn't catch her fight before that. But I do know that her and Joanna matching up is from what I have seen, two very similar styles. Both of them like to stand and bang. They're both very technical strikers. I've never seen, from what I have seen in Valentina, and then, you know, the pretty good handful of fights I've seen from Joanna, they're not sloppy, you know, in any regard. They're both very intelligent, you know. The timing, everything. They're both very good strikers, and I think that's just what we'll see there. That's just gonna be a firefight, stand and bang type of fight, and that's really gonna blow up the main card. That fight might even take the roof off the building. It's gonna be crazy. You know, I probably expect it to go the distance. Honestly, I bet you those two right there will go the distance, almost definitely. I don't see a finish happening. I mean, I could always be surprised. They could always surprise me, because with the UFC, it's like every time I say or expect something to go a certain way, it usually goes the opposite way in like really impressive fashion, like really crazy, unexpected fashion. So, you know, I could definitely be wrong, but my prediction at this time is that they'll go the distance. And I picked Joanna to win a decision. That's my pick. And I don't know whether I'd say unanimous decision or whatever is that. I don't really know how it'll go that way. I'd probably see a split decision if it were to be, because I don't really know. I think it'll be close either way. I don't think Joanna will get dominated. But the thing is this, though. This is one factor this is a big factor that plays for Valentina, which could upset my pick. You know, I could definitely be upset with my pick and be wrong, because Valentina is just, regardless of how they look at the weigh-in, like, they can look good. Like, you know, people were tossing this idea around and speculating this, you know, leading up to the fight. But then once they seen the way Joanna looked, you know, in the face-off or the stare-down in and out the weigh-ins, they said, okay, Joanna looks good. You know, they both look good. Joanna doesn't look as small, you know, and it's just, doesn't look that much smaller than Valentina, given that Valentina dropped down from bantamweight. So, I mean, but the thing is, though, is that she's a natural. Like, I don't know how much weight Valentina was ever cutting to get to 135. Like, I don't know how much these women cut weight or what weight does Joanna walk around at. I don't know. I mean, but I just do think it's a really big difference, because you basically have a natural From what I know, a true 115 pounder, a true straw weight in Joanna versus a true bantamweight in Valentina. So, and the more weight you have on you, the more knockout power you have. Like that's just the way it is. That's like the law of physics out here in the UFC. So, and that's why we see the heavyweights knocking each other out left and right. Any of those guys can knock each other out. I know this isn't the heavyweight, so that's not really even a comparable scenario right there, but the weight difference does matter. So you have a true bantamweight versus a true strawweight. You know, Valentina basically has 20 pounds on Joanna in this fight. I mean, yeah, she moved up to 125. Valentina moved down to 125. I think Valentina has the weight advantage, the size advantage over all those girls in the 125 division, and has the skill advantage over all those girls in the 125 division. She's a really big talent. I think the fight can go either way. I mean, I could see, you know, if one of them was going to dominate each other, or if one of them was going to finish each other, I'd probably see Valentina finishing Joanna. I'd probably see a TKO right there if I had to pick who was going to finish who. But what I was more betting on with my DraftKings pick for my lineup was a decision for Joanna, probably a split decision. That's probably what I'd see. Split decision or unanimous decision for Joanna. That's a really interesting fight. I'm really intrigued to see how that one goes. That one's really going to be a firefight. It's going to be a banger for sure.
I think if Joanna wins, she wins by knockout. I think if Valentina wins, she wins by decision. So, man, this is a tough one to pick. I think I'm gonna go with Joanna, man. She's trying to avenge those two losses to Rose, and then she's trying to avenge the two losses that she had to Valentina and kickboxer. So I think that may get her a little bit extra motivation, and plus she didn't struggle with a weight cut this time. So I think 125 is probably Joanna's more natural weight class. And it probably is Valentina's also. But I'm gonna get an edge to Joanna, man. I think I'm gonna go with her power, with her championship experience, being able to go five rounds. I want to say this is a pick'em, but I'm going with Joanna, man. Is that something telling me that she's gonna get it done tonight?
Yeah, I think so too. I think so. I definitely think so too. It could go either way, but it's surprising. Just let's just put this out there. It's really surprising that we even just agreed on that fight, because me even saying my most confidence is in Joanna for a decision, but if there were to be a finish, that I would think Valentina finished Joanna, and then you come in and say the exact opposite, that if there was a finish, Joanna finished Valentina, and if decision, then Valentina wins the decision. When you said that, I'm like, wow, here we go. He's about to just disagree and pick Valentina, because that's the theme of our show, everybody. We tend to disagree on a lot of fights. But that right there, saying that and then flipping the script and picking Joanna and actually sounding arguably more confident than I sounded in my pick, you know, for the same fighter, is that really just surprised me right there.
Well, it'll play out tonight in the octagon.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, we'll have to see. You know, what you said is interesting too, because, you know, I did think about that. And, you know, a fighter like Joanna, the thing is this, is that, like, when she lost to Rose in the first round, you just, if you go back, like, look at the timeline, look at the way, like, people reacted. This is the thing that happens with a lot of these fighters, is that you have somebody who's, like, at such a high level, and they're performing at such a high level, and then they lose to somebody else who's coming up but also just reached that really high level, and they lose to that other fighter, and then that's their first loss in the UFC, and then they fall from – you just see them fall from grace so hard, like a shooting star. Like, they just burn out so bad, like, not even – but not really in terms of their performance. It's more just their appearance to the fans, just the way that the fans think of them. When you have an undefeated fighter and they lose that zero off their record, all of a sudden the fans turn on them so quick. It just happens, you know, kind of like Cody Garbrandt, that happened a lot. Like when he lost to Dillashaw, everybody was like, you know, kind of stop supporting Cody Garbrandt, you know, that being his first loss in the UFC. Then who else was it? Conor McGregor. A lot of people jumped off and stopped, you know, thinking McGregor can only beat certain guys now and is not top talent because he lost to Nate Diaz the first time. Then after, you know, the biggest one in this scenario is Joanna, because Joanna had herself on such a high pedestal for a long time, beating, you know, everybody at strawweight division. You know, I think she had five title defenses. It was either four or five title defenses. And then she, you know, Rose Namajunas comes up, you know, someone who people didn't expect it. They weren't as closely watching somebody who they didn't realize had reached that level of where Joanna was at. And Rose just had her number. You know, she finished Joanna, I think it was the first or second round, you know, last November, and then after that, you know, they come back to the rematch. Rose beats Joanna again. She didn't finish her. I think it was she won by unanimous decision.
Yeah.
They had a pretty good fight in their rematch. You know, Joanna looked a lot better, but she couldn't get it done. It's just one of those things, you know. Joanna, when she lost her zero, it was a really big case of just fans turning on her. You know, when she lost Rose the first time, I remember seeing fans say that she couldn't even beat Tisha Torres. There was people just talking crazy reckless about, you know, she lose one time and now you're not even ranking her in the top five in her division when she just cleared out her division right before that loss. So,
but I don't
that
think
kind
people
thing,
turned on her though, Keys. I think it's more like what you said before that fight. You said that sometimes people have to be humble. And, you know, me and you both talked about how Joanna will always do the antics at the weigh-in, you know, getting up in an opponent's face, or, you know, stuff like that. And you actually picked that fight. You said that, and I think I switched that the last month. I think on the show I picked Joanna, but I think the night of the fight I actually picked Rose. But you actually said going into that fight that, you know, it was something about Rose's demeanor and how outspoken and outlandish Joanna was acting, that you just felt that she needed to be humble. And sometimes some of these men and women fighters have to be humble. And the three names you said are three names that at the time needed to be humble: Conor McGregor, Cody Garbrandt, and Joanna. I think Cody's thing is he can beat a Dominique Cruz, but he can't beat a TJ Dillashaw, because Dillashaw hand speed and his punching and technique is so upper echelon that it kind of takes away his power. Whereas Dominique Cruz, he's going to use footwork and not so much effective striking, that Cody Garbrandt was never scared of Dominique Cruz knocking him out or hurting him. Because remember, even when Dominique Cruz was hitting him, he was still laughing at him and stuff like, come on, man, that's all you got? So I don't think the fighters fall out of grace. I just think it depends on, you know, how people looked at them before the loss. I think for me, I agree with you. I thought Joanna, she needed to be humbled. She needed to probably witness the agony of defeat to let her know that, you know, this you are a fighter in a sport. You don't make this sport. So, you know, and sometimes people, when they lose, they go one or two ways. They continue to lose, or, you know, losing gets them to step their game up. So, and as far as your boy Conor McGregor, until he can fight off his back, man, I think everybody he fights is going to try to take him down. They're going to keep trying to take him down and make him get up off the mat. So we'll see what happens in his next fight. I think the UFC will try to protect him by having him fight guys that are strictly stand-up fighters. And then, you know, we'll see what happens down the road.
Well, I think a big thing about it is just looking at, you know, when I was making my lineup, I was looking at the records of a lot of the fighters and just considering, you know, when you look at Joanna's record, I think she's like, she only has two losses. Like, I don't remember how many wins. She only got like two losses. She factually has two losses. And when you just look at two losses on her record, which is her last two fights, actually, no, she fought Tisha Torres, so she won her last fight, but the two fights before that, she lost. She actually looked great versus Tisha Torres, by the way. She looked great versus Tisha Torres. That was a good fight. Fight Night Calgary, yeah.
Tisha Torres.
Fight Night Calgary.
But, you know, I think Tisha Torres looked bad. I don't think Joanna looked good. I think Tisha Torres looked bad because she kept trying to do that one-leg takedown, and then it was like, okay, you're not taking her down. Let's do something else. Then we go round two, try the one-leg takedown for like 2 minutes, and then you get pieced up. It was like, man, that was Tisha just didn't look good.
Yeah, and I was rooting for her in that fight, too. A lot of
yeah,
times
that's
when
your
I
girl.
Root for somebody, they don't win. Yeah, that is my girl. One of my favorites. This is beautiful. She's one of the most beautiful girls in the UFC today. It's crazy.
Yeah, her and Michelle Waterson were in Paige VanZant.
Yeah, Waterson, yeah, Paige VanZant, Tisha Torres, they're all beautiful. There's some of them out there are a little overhyped. Some of these girls that people say are so, they're not really that hot. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get into it on this show, but that'll be a whole nother controversy, you know, but I'll leave that for another time. So we just going to let that go. Anyways, so the thing is that people just take a look at certain records and they say, wow, you lost twice to the same person, but that doesn't make you less of a challenger to anybody else. I mean, nobody, you know, another example of that, and you're going to love this. You're going to love this. This is perfect. Because DC only have two losses to John Jones. But nobody else can beat DC. You know, Stipe can beat DC 100%.
I do too. But it's just
we've yet to see the rematch to determine that. You know, I'll be rooting for Stipe when it does happen. DC, those eye pokes that you did versus Stipe was very cheap. You know, I was actually driving my car. I was driving the other day, and I accidentally poked myself in the eye. And when I did that, I was so it impaired. I feel like I poked myself in one eye, but both eyes were impaired from it. Like both could not get my eyes refocused on the road, and it's just I was so irritated from it, and it even kind of lingered into when I got out of the car, and then after my eyes were still bothered. And all I could think about was, wow, if I just poked myself in the eye by accident because I was trying to, itch a certain part of my eye, but it actually kind of hurt, and it got me all disgruntled. And all I could think about was, poor Stipe. You know, if I poked myself in the eye right there, but then, you know, big man DC fucking shoving his whole knuckle in Stipe's eye. No, not his whole knuckle, but his whole claw. You know, his whole four fingers besides the thumb into Stipe's eyes. I can imagine, you know, how pissed off that he was at that and how affected he was from that. So, DC, you were bad. That was messed up. All right? They should ban eye pokes in the UFC. That's what I have to say. Ban eye pokes. It ain't fair.
So, what's your fight that's under the radar that people should be looking forward to seeing tonight? I know which one I'm picking. But what's your fight that you think people should be looking out for that's not on the main card?
I gotta go look right now because I have certain picks, but I don't know if these are on the main card or not. So I gotta go and look to see to get that right the first time because I know I have Jimmy Manuwa in my lineup, so I'm definitely picking Jimmy Manuwa in that fight. He's another guy who only has a handful of losses, and then people just kind of count. People like to talk down and count him out versus everybody else now because he loses to top level guys. You know, he only just lost to Volkan, and then people want to count him out of every other fight. Oh yeah, he lost the Blachowicz. Yeah, he lost to that guy too after that. But now you have two losses, and then he'll come back and win four straight. You know, I think
I hope Jimmy Manuwa levels this guy tonight. Just so people can stop the Manuwa hate, man. Jimmy Manuwa is good. I gotta stop playing with him.
Hold on, I gotta go and try to find this. Dude, the website is all different now. I don't even know how to get to anything. Man, what the hell is going on?
Well,
I don't know what's happening
on the website, bro. I can't find the damn thing. But if you know what fights are on the prelims, let me know because I don't know.
I'm going with the Canadian gangster Olivier Mercier versus Gilbert Burns. I think that fight is going to be a good fight. I like the way Olivier fights, and this guy Gilbert Burns, he's not a slouch either, man. So I think them two are going to give us a hell of a performance tonight. It's definitely going to be the fight I'm looking forward to seeing. Warren says on the prelims. Yeah, it's on the prelims because the main card has five fights on the main card. And, yeah, it's on the prelim. So, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to that fight. I think Olivier, I think if he do win, it'll be by submission. And I think if Burns win, it'll be by decision. But I think these two guys, I think they might give us the fight of the night tonight.
Oh, wait, you're talking about, I think his name is Aubin Mercier?
Yep, that's him. Yep.
Yeah. I've seen a couple good performances from him in the past. I almost picked him in my lineup, but then I think last time I picked him in my lineup, he lost. So after that, I can't go with somebody who steered me wrong the last time. I can't pick them twice in a row. But yeah, he's good though. That's one. I'm gonna be paying attention for that one. Wait a second. Let me see. Six fight. New Blood. They have a section titled New Blood over here.
They must listen to the show.
Yeah, that's Lee's thing, bro. Yeah, this is MMAmania.com, bro. They have a whole section, and it says in bold, New Blood. And that's like the theme of, and there's a paragraph underneath it talking about the Gunnar Nelson and Ferreira. Carlos Diego
Oliveira.
Ferreira. Oh. Okay, yeah, I screwed that one up. Yeah, this other guy's name is in the paragraph. I was thinking they were saying that them two guys was fighting. Okay, yeah, so I know Gunnar Nelson's fighting somebody.
Yeah, he's fighting Cowboy Oliveira tonight.
Oh, man. Oh, Jesus. Okay, so I'm glad I didn't pick that fight because, first of all, I saw a picture of Gunnar Nelson, somebody posted, and he looked to be in great shape. So seeing that, you know, the way I do believe a lot in the way fighters look before a fight can tell a lot about how the fight may go. You know, that's not, you know, based on you know, mental warfare. Like, if you know, the quiet one, a lot of the times, sometimes the quiet one get demolished, sometimes the quiet one will finish the loud mouth. So, you know, I think mentally how you present yourself can tell a lot about how the fight will go. But then physically too, just does it look like you've had a tough time cutting weight? Does it look like you're, you know, you look lethargic, you know, walking up to the scale? And sometimes those kind of things can stare me the wrong way too. Sometimes they're right, but you know, Gunnar Nelson looked really good, but at the same time, Cowboy Oliveira I'd pick him to win that. Isn't he a submission artist? I feel like I've seen him submit a handful of guys.
You know, he do it all though. Excuse me. You know, he can stand the bang. He got a good kick game. He can jiu-jitsu you. Actually, he got an all around game. He's fought a lot of big name guys, so if you he's no slouch, you know. As far as you know, some of these guys with these hyped up records, you know, he's a guy that definitely has fought a lot of who's who in MMA in his weight class. So I really don't know too much about Gunnar Nelson, but for it to be the third fight on the card, I mean, you know. The UFC knows something. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that fight. So, yeah.
Fight on the card.
That's right before the co-main event. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, this is going to be a goodie. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing. You have Claudia Gadelha is making a return. Now, she hasn't fought in a little bit, probably since like this time last year. She hasn't fought in a little bit, so she's in the main event for the prelims. She's fighting Nina Ansaroff. And I have Claudia.
Yeah, that's That's old girl's girlfriend. That's
Yeah, when I read that, I knew it. I couldn't think of who it was. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Because when I read her name, I thought of that. I remember seeing that somewhere on the sideline. I forget who it is that she dates. Yeah, but she's together with one of the other girls. I forget.
The girl
off
that's
top of my head who it is.
Cyborg.
Oh, that's Amanda Nunes' girlfriend?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, word. I knew it was, I couldn't think of who it was, but I knew that name from somewhere. But yeah, that's crazy because that's a big, you know, big strawweight fight right there. Which is, I mean, I guess is Dana White said Rose Namajunas is, I think he said she was dealing with a injury on her neck, she was having issues with her neck, so.
Yeah, complications from her shoulder injury, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because, remember, she had actually hurt her. She had her shoulder hurt when during the Conor McGregor bus incident. And then she still had to fight with Joanna. And then she had ended up having surgery on her shoulder. And for some strange reason, the surgery that she had on her shoulder is causing pain in her neck. So, you know, but I think she should be back by probably springtime, summertime next year to defend against Kat Zingano. No, not Kat Zingano. Andrade. Is it Andrade that's next? So I think Andrade's fight is next for Rose.
Yeah, I think Jessica Andrade would probably be next for her. It's hard for me to think about Jessica Andrade without thinking about how badly she got outclassed versus when she fought Joanna. It was just terrible. Like, Joanna had her looking like she was in her debut of all MMA. Like, it looked like it was her first professional fight versus Joanna. And it's hard for me to think of Andrade in another light than that. I mean, that's probably because I missed her fight with Claudia. I heard that fight was pretty crazy, and she looked really good there. I probably had to do with it.
All right, man. So, look, let's make a couple of predictions, man. Then we'll get into the main event. Let me pull the card up again. Because I know we're going to have a lot to say about this goddamn, about this main event.
I got the card right
there. We've been waiting on this, Joe. So let's start with the first fight on the main card. We got Jimmy Manuwa versus Thiago Santos. Who you got?
Well, I'm taking Manuwa all the way.
I'm going with Santos.
I'm not too familiar with the Santos guy, but I think Manuwa's got a few things to prove here. And he really needs this fight, so I'm counting on a standout performance from Manuwa in this fight.
Well, I'm going with hold on. Okay, Keith, I know I ask you this every time, but I'm going to ask you again. On the betting lines, the minus is the favorite, right? And the plus
yeah,
is the underdog, right?
Yeah, the minus is the favorite.
Okay. Yeah, so Thiago Santos is the favorite. I'm rolling with him tonight.
I want to say I've seen him fight before because when I read his name and when I saw his picture come up on DraftKings and I was trying to make my picks, I was looking at it and I seen his face and I was like, man, why do I feel like I've seen Thiago fight before and he's a savage beast? I want to say I've seen him like absolutely destroy somebody before, but then I never seen him fight again after that. So if my short-term memory, I think that's what that would be. If my short-term memory serves me correct, then Thiago Santos is a savage beast, and Manuel's going to have a really standout performance to beat this guy, if my memory serves me right. But if not, then maybe I'm just, you know, thinking of another Thiago that I've seen somewhere else.
Okay, so we going different on that one. So then the next fight you got, Hakeem Duwadu versus Kyle Bosniak. And I think I already know where you're going at with this one.
Yeah, so Hakeem Duwadu, I never heard of this guy. I don't even have a clue who that is. Like, when I saw that, I had no idea. I never even think I've seen him fight ever before. So I have no idea. But anyways, you know, my boy Bochniak is in there, man. Boston. I ain't even gonna say nothing. I ain't even gonna say anything more. I didn't pick this one for my DraftKings. I steered away, but you know where my head's at with that one. My loyalties is in Boston.
I want to go with Duwawadu, but I'm going to ride with my man Keys Bostonian, Kyle Bochniak. I think he gets it done tonight. So then we got Gunnar Nelson versus Cowboy Oliveira. Who you rolling with, Keys?
All right, so Gunnar Nelson, Alex Oliveira. All right, so I didn't pick this fight in my DraftKings lineup either because it was just too much of a – it was just too many variables in it for me to be able to confidently pick in either one. But, I mean, Gunnar Nelson looked really good. He looked to be in good shape, but that doesn't always tell the tale of the fight either. I'll probably take Alex Oliveira in this one. I think Alex Oliveira probably – I bet he wins by submission. That's what I would say. I bet Alex Oliveira wins by submission. That'll be my pick.
Once again, I'm agreeing with my boy Keys. I'm going with Cowboy Oliveira in this one. I think, you know, I don't really know too much about Gunnar Nelson. Evidently, he's a guy because he's number 14th ranked. But I'm going to go with Cowboy Oliveira. I'm going with his experience. He's fought a lot of big names, and sometimes you can fall back on that because of the experience factor. So, once again, me and Keith agree. Both of us got Cowboy Oliveira, and both of us got Kyle Bochniak. So that means both of them guys are going to lose.
Yeah.
All right, we already
– to be a trap. Make picks.
So we already picked our winners for the Shevchenko Joanna fight. I said Joanna will win by knockout. You said Joanna will win by decision, right?
Yep, we already made that pick. So we'll jump right into the main event.
Here we go. Here we go, people. The moment you all been waiting for. Lee and Keys breaking down Max Bless Holloway against Brian T-City Ortega. And this fight has been a fight that both of us have been waiting to see. We've been actually probably praying to a higher power that this fight will happen. And lo and behold, we are almost 4 hours and 15 minutes away for the main card start. So, Keys, Max Holloway versus Brian Ortega. Break it down.
Wow. So, oh, man. I'm like, intimidated with you even just saying that to me. All right, damn. So, where to begin? Okay, so I'm gonna just throw this. All right, so based off of both of their last fight, Max Holloway, you know, one variable that plays into this is the ring rust for Max Holloway, because, you know, you mentioned ring rust many times before, and you know, I believe you said you do believe in ring rust. So in this case, ring rust doesn't help Max Holloway. It favors Ortega because Ortega was just in action earlier this year against Frank Yeager. So against Frank Yeager, a top opponent, I know, a top striker, 145 division. But at the same time, you know, Frank Yeager is also, I believe, a lot smaller than Max Holloway. So it's not like – and then I believe Holloway also has the reach in this fight. I'm pretty sure he has a big reach advantage over Ortega in this fight. Max Holloway is just a beast of a 145er. He's a huge guy, and it's just really crazy. I mean, people like to doubt him because he's not – you know, he's not like jacked, you know what I mean? He's not like fucking this big, like 170 pounder walking around, like beefy guy. But, you know, Max Holloway can go, and he has the chin also. His chin is unbelievable. If you think that Brian Ortega is going to go in there and box up Max Holloway because of the way that he did Frank Yeager, you're going to be disappointed. That's what I think. You will be very disappointed because he's not that good. He's not as good as that made him seem. Just because he got that flash, you know, uppercut knockout on Edgar does not mean anything.
And you have to think about this, even in that fight, that doesn't even gain that much stock because Edgar has taken so many punches. You know, the fact that he'd never gotten finished was already amazing in itself because with all the killers he's fought and how many shots that he's absorbed, he was bound to get finished sooner or later. I mean, he's getting up there in age too. So that knockout, you know, it was good, and it definitely, you can't take it away from Ortega, but at the same time, you can't use that fight when talking about this fight because that's, I really don't think that's going to happen to Holloway. I don't think Ortega is, Holloway is such a good striker. He's so, you know, he has all the elements, and I think he, I easily pick him in the striking department over Brian Ortega. But Ortega does have the jiu-jitsu, and I think he has Holloway beat when it comes to, you know, if he's able to take Holloway down,
I think he has him beat in the ground game department. But on the feet, I think Holloway has Ortega beat
easily. So, and I think that's what he needs to do. He needs to keep the fight standing
and just pick away at Ortega on the feet.
And don't try and don't give up your neck.
Don't at any point
lose caution and consciousness of your neck. Don't give up your neck to Ortega because you've seen what he did to Cub Swanson. I thought he was going to rip Cub's neck off. I thought he was going to snap his neck in the octagon. That was probably the most scariest. When Ortega does that type of, what's that called, a guillotine?
Yeah, when he does that, when he does a guillotine.
I can understand. He puts the guillotine in guillotine. When the reason they even call it that, you know, that thing used to chop people's heads off back in, like, the French Revolution. Jesus Christ, that thing is scary when he does that to guys. So, Max, don't give up your neck, please, because if that happens, he's going to have you beat. And if it goes to the, if he's able to take you down, then he's gonna have the advantage. You know, he trains Gracie Jiu Jitsu. So this guy trains with the best Jiu Jitsu guys out there. So you're not gonna have him beat on the ground. But if you have him, you know, stand and bang, I think Holloway's got this. And I actually have Holloway in my lineup. I'm going with Max Holloway because you know what? All elements considered, all variables considered, I didn't even name off all the variables. There's still more at play. And what I said, but one thing remains is this: you can't beat the best. To be the best, you have to beat the best, and the best is blessed. So Holloway all the way. That's my pick. I think Holloway either win a decision or by TKO. That's my pick. So you go ahead.
I think this fight comes down to who can put the fight in their advantage corner. I think Holloway, his advantage corner is standing and banging. I think Ortega, his advantage corner is taking Max down and making Max carry his weight, making Max fight off his back, because we haven't really seen him do that. I think Ortega, I really can't put too much stock in the Frankie fight because, he did catch him with a shot. It was a one-round fight. Frankie has more movement than he does power, whereas Max Holloway has devastating knockout power. So, and then Ring Rust, you brought it up. And I am a believer in Ring Rust. I think for T-City to actually take advantage of Max being away from the octagon so long, I think what he will have to do is he will have to put a lot of pressure on Max in the first and second rounds, hopefully wearing him out, you know, get him a little winded and maybe gas. And then, you know, because Max has been in five-round wars, so you're not going to, you know, you're not going to art cardio him in a championship in the championship rounds. So, T-City, his best bet is to maybe go for it in the first and second rounds. You know, being that Max has been away from the octagon, I'm kind of with you on this. I think I don't see T-City really getting him up out of there via strikes. I think if he does win, it'll be by submission, which I don't see happening. I'm riding with the blessed train. I think he starts taking control of the fight in the third round, hurts T-City in the fourth round, gets him up out of there in the fifth round via knockout or TKO. And if it goes to decision, I say Max wins a unanimous decision, probably four rounds to one, you know. So both of us have Max Holloway winning. Wow, this is kind of weird. But, you know, to our audience out there, hey, get out there, watch the fight tonight. Share your ideas on Twitter. You can use hashtag Lee and Keys Real Talk RT, and you know we'll reply back. You know, let us know what you you know what how you scoring the rounds or whatever. You know, it's a good conversation piece. I know me and my man Keys, we talk back and forth during the fights. I'm gonna be on Twitter tonight during the fights, especially during the main card. I normally don't tweet during the prelims, because normally my grandkids here, so. You know, I don't really get that in depth in them, but I think the prelims, I'm going to have to watch tonight because they got some good fights on the prelims. But, you know, I got to bring this up, man. 232 is at the end of the month. I'm going to have a fight party at my house for that. You know, come on, boy, John Jones is making his return to the octagon. But I got to let my man Key sign off on this. Dana White, I think I retweeted this to you today. Put the bad mouth again on your boy T-Wood. I don't know whether or not you saw that tweet. But what Dana White said was, I'm about to read it to you. He says, verbatim, when is Woodley ready to fight anybody ever? When? Tell me when. And then he went on to say, the reporter said, well, he just fought 3 months ago. And Dana White replied back, do you know how long it took us to get him to accept that fight? So I retweeted at my boy Keys. I said, shots fired, because once again, Dana White is putting the bad mouth on your boy Woodley. What you got to say about that, bro?
Man. Yo, they got to put some respect on Woodley. Dana White, I understand why he would be upset, because the timetable between the time that he fought the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guy, you know, that he fought on John Jones. Yeah, so between the timetable he had there, between that time and the time he fought kickboxer and Darren Till, between those two fights was kind of a long time. That was a year and a couple months. It was like a year and 2 months about. Yeah, it was just about exactly a year and 2 months between the time he defended the belt. So it took him a while, and then they had to make an interim belt and everything. But at the same time,
they didn't have to.
Really looking at it is, he fought, defended his belt now, 1, 2, 3, 4. He defended his belt 4 times since he got the belt. So he's given y'all 5 title fights in the welterweight division since he was first a contender. And I'm pretty sure that's more than everybody. So I don't even know what to say about that. They need to put some respect on Woodley. That's what I think.
And I'm going to go back to it once again, is if Dana White likes you, he likes you, and he'll promote you. But evidently, him and Woodley, there's something to their relationship that every chance he gets, he bad-mouths Tyron Woodley. My thing with Woodley is I don't think his fights are action-packed. I mean, you know, he did start Darren Till. You know, he stopped Lawler. But I just keep going back to those Wonder Boy and the Damian Maia fights. And to me, those were lackluster fights. But at the same time, styles make fights. T-Wood was letting them. He knew Maia couldn't take him down. And Maya kept trying to take him down. Maya didn't have a plan B. Now, in the fight against Wonderboy, you know, both are counterpunchers. So, basically, both are waiting on somebody to do something. So, that makes for a boring fight. So, but I think, you know, I really don't see why they trying to make this Covington fight instead of the Usman fight. I don't think Colby Covington has done anything to warrant a title shot. You know, that bullshit interim belt, the fight that they had really was unnecessary. So I don't see why he deserves a title shot. I would rather see Usman fight T-Wood, but we'll see what happens. I think Colby Covington is one of the guys that Dana White likes, so he'll get the next shot. You know, once again, it leads me to what I have always said about Dana White. You know, look at Demetrius Johnson, one of the most upstanding fighters in the octagon and off the octagon that the UFC ever had. Not once did he ever, you know, hook the card on to Demetrius Johnson, you know. And he was probably the pound-for-pound best fighter they had in UFC. When John Jones at the top of his game, he never hooked the card to him. But he has hitched the card to Ronda Rousey, Conor McGregor, Daniel Cormier, you know, and to me, what has DC really done as champion? He hasn't defended it. Tyron Woodley has defended his belt more times than DC has, and I think DC had his belt longer. You know, it's just frustrating as a fan that the UFC doesn't do the right thing. And then as far as Stipe not getting a media rematch, he was the most dominant heavyweight champion in the UFC history. And y'all going to have him sit behind and wait to see what happens between DC and Brock Lesnar? That's bullshit, man. Get that man his rematch, you know? So, but, you know, man, that's all I want to vent about, man. I'm looking forward to the night, you know, man. Keys didn't invite me to be in his DraftKings, but that's okay. You know, it's all good.
Oh yeah, so I keep forgetting you're on that. You gotta send me a text with your DraftKings name so I can add you, and we'll do a contest. We can even do a contest tonight.
Yeah, I'll shoot it to you when we get off.
All right, word. But anyways, we'll get into some of those other topics more on the next show. We appreciate everybody supporting and listening in to the Keys Real Talk. And, you know, everybody, make sure you get somewhere, get to a bar, get to any place you can watch the fights and tune in, because it's going to be a night to remember. It's going to be fireworks.
Yeah. If you go out to a bar, you have a few, you know, make sure you're responsible. You know, don't drink and drive, you know, stuff like that. Have a good time. You know, enjoy the fights. I think tonight's going to be an awesome card. I think the 233 card, no, the 232 card is going to be awesome also. I'm actually having a fight party for that. And, you know, for those people that didn't see the Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury fight, set your DVR, set your DVR to record that. The replay comes on tonight on Showtime. I already have mine set up so I can watch it and be able to make a more informed opinion about that fight. So, you know, everybody have a good evening, man. Lee and Keith.
Yeah, that pretty much wraps it up. Everybody be safe and have a great night. Thank you for supporting us. Until next time, Lee and Keith, Real Talk. We over and out.
Peace.